Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast, the number one spirituality podcast on iTunes. My name is Emma Mumford and I'm your host. I'm the UK's leading law of attraction expert, award-winning life coach, 2 times best-selling author, manifestation YouTuber, speaker, and badass spiritual queen. I'm here to help you awaken and turn your dream life into an abundant reality and help you create your positively wealthy life full of happiness, abundance, and joy. I do this through sharing the power of law of attraction and spirituality. I hope my podcast will inspire you to raise your game and start living your best life today. Without further ado, let's get started with this week's episode. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for joining me for another one of my Spiritual Queens Badass Podcast episode today. I am so delighted to have the wonderful Susie Ashworth with us. So Susie, if you don't know, is a single mum of 3 children, high school dropout, Hay House author, international keynote speaker, multi-7-figure success coach, and serial entrepreneur on a mission. She has worked with thousands of impact-driven leaders in business to create quantum shifts in their lives and their businesses over the last 10 years. And her vision is to raise the vibration of humanity through helping people consciously create freedom, joy, and abundance through sharing the secrets of how to tap into the frequency of infinite receiving. Welcome to the show, Susie. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm a bit like, it's rare that you get to hear somebody read out your entire bio. So I was a bit like, but I am great and I am super excited to be here. So thank you very much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Well, we were just discussing that our dashhounds of the queen are the queens of receiving. So I know this podcast topic is going to be something that our listeners are super keen to listen to hear about, because again, we love manifestation here, as you know, you love manifestation. So I am so excited for us to dive all into infinite receiving and what the blocks around receiving are as well, because I think a lot of people do struggle around blocks and allowing themselves to receive. I know I've gone down that path myself. So yeah. I am so excited to find out all your wisdom on that. But before we get into that, Susie, and all your goodness, I would love to ask, when did you spiritually awaken? What's your story?
Yeah, I think that this in and of itself is a really interesting question. I think that I have always had a relationship with spirit. I remember when I was 8 years old asking my foster mother to be christened. And when I reflect back, if I think about my 7-year-old daughter now asking me that, that would feel like a really strange question or a strange thing to request. But it was important to me. So I got christened at 8. But I think that really my spirituality kicked in when I was 19 after my foster mother passed away. And that, for obvious reasons, was a really pivotal moment in my life. And it was a real, I suppose in our world, we would call it an initiation, because it forced me to look at myself in a way that I hadn't had to up until that point. And I talk about this in my book, Infinite Receiving. But at the time that she passed, I was a typical teenager, a young adult, but also with the attitude of a teenager. So that meant the whole world revolved around me. And when my mum got sick, and she'd looked after me from the age of 3 months old, when she got sick, I just didn't have the capacity to be there for her in a way that if she was still around now, you know, I would be there in a heartbeat. But unfortunately for me and for her at that time, I couldn't do it. So I only visited her once when she was in hospital before I got the phone call to say that she had died. And so, as you can probably imagine, there was just a huge amount of guilt, a huge amount of shame, and just deep regret that this woman who had given me all of her love, all of her support, all of her wisdom over the years had died, and I'd only been to see her in hospital once. And what that invited me to do was really just look at myself. And I had to make a decision about how I wanted to move forward. And so at that point in my life, I was working in a pizza restaurant in Canterbury. I was smoking a lot of weed, doing a lot of drugs. I was not in a good place at all. And it was like, who do you want to be? What do you want to create? This awareness that life was really short and I only had one chance. All of those things were really, really present. But before I could think about myself, I needed to make good with my mum. And so I remember writing her a letter, and in that letter just expressing my regret, but also my gratitude. And that awareness that even though she wasn't in the physical, she was still present. That is really what started my spiritual journey, my personal development journey. And has led me to where we are today.
And what a journey as well. I mean, I've been reading about it in your book, Infinite Receiving, and, you know, it's just incredible to see how all the kind of puzzle pieces have unfolded for you and what's led you to different, you know, different stages of your life, different seasons, and to obviously the Susie we see today, and to be the queen of receiving. So it's interesting, isn't it, how we're given these sort of challenges and obstacles in life to experience different emotions, experience different things, like you say, of almost going down that path of, I don't know whether you would call it self-sabotage, but you know what I mean? Going down that path of drugs and, you know, being selfish, to then having that moment of, oh God, like there must be more. And my journey was very similar, my awakening, in terms of there wasn't drugs involved, but I was at that point in my mental health where I was like, I've either got to take my life or save my life. And there must be more to life than this. And how do people experience happiness? So it's interesting. We can have those almost rock bottom moments where, you know, you realize you've got to do something, you've got to make a change, and, you know, happiness is available to people. So yeah, it's been very interesting to hear your story and see that unfold in the book. But on the topic of the book of infinite receiving, what does it mean to infinite receive? What does infinite receiving mean to you, Susie?
I describe infinite receiving as it's a philosophy for living. And so when I say that, it's this real awareness that receiving isn't something that we can switch on or off. It's happening all of the time. And so in any given moment, I can open myself up to receiving the gifts of the lesson, the gifts, the lesson, the resilience, like whatever is being presented to me in that moment, I can open myself up to receive it, or I can be closed. And even when I'm closed, I'm still learning something about where I need to heal, where I need to accept, you know, where there is a lesson that I need to embody more. So it's first off Yeah, it's a way of looking at and interacting with the world. It is also a frequency. And so you have infinite receiving from this perspective of, I just get to see what is happening. And then also infinite receiving when I am consciously opening myself up to creating or manifesting what it is that I desire. And when I talk about it as a frequency, it's almost as if you can imagine turning the light on, and I turn on my magnetism and I make it much, much easier for me to align with the things that I want to co-create in the world. And so that is really where we look at, where we move from receiving unconsciously into consciously co-creating our existence. And that's really the mastery that you and I and the people in your community are interested in really playing with.
We're very interested in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so important because, you know, in the traditional three steps of law of attraction, you know, the third step is receive. And obviously, when I read that in The Secret and went along, you know, my manifestation journey, learning about it, I was like, it's just as simple as ask, believe, receive, Emma. And I never received a day in my life, Susie, honestly. Like, I was the hyper independent, the people pleaser. Like, I had trauma underneath that as well, wounded in a child. Like, I did not know how to receive. I was like the giver in all in all my circumstances. In work, I was, you know, the giver in work as well. I wouldn't have, you know, team supporting me or anything at that time. So it's so interesting when you get into the relationship of receiving, how it impacts a lot of areas of your life. And it showed up for me the kind of key point in my, or moment in my life where I realized, Emma, you've got a problem with receiving, was actually when I received birthday and Christmas presents. And I would just get this icky feeling of like, oh God, I'm so grateful for this person and their thought and their love. But I just love giving gifts to people. Like, I thrive more picking and wrapping and seeing their expression. But when they give me something, it was almost like I just couldn't accept it back. But when I went deeper, I found that actually that gift-giving kind of ickiness was reflected in my ability to receive support in the business, in you know, my ability to receive money, in my ability to receive my relationships. So it was eye-opening, Susie, to say the least. And what was your journey like with receiving? For anyone listening, were you always someone who could receive with ease, or did you have similar blocks?
Oh, no, I really resonated as you were speaking there. I, particularly in my latter years, I really adopted the identity of the strong Black woman. And so it wasn't, I didn't need to receive. I didn't want to receive. I was the person who could organize things. I was the person, but also I needed to. I had learned, I say this is something that came up in later years, but also at the very beginning, I learned that you couldn't rely on people and you had to rely on yourself. And again, it's really interesting because I had such an incredible childhood with my foster parents, but the prelude to me being with them was ultimately I was given up to be fostered at 3 months old. And so when I look back and I connect all of the dots and I imagine what it was like as a baby to have been in your mother's womb for 9 months and then her feed you, her change you, her love you, her hold you, and then literally overnight be given to another woman. Different smell, different home, different. I can just imagine that 3 month old baby being like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And I learned that it wasn't 100% safe, that you could be let down by the people that were supposed to support you the most. And so even though I had incredible models, there was still a huge part of me that, one, didn't really allow love in fully, and two, ran the story very, very clearly, you can only rely on yourself, you have to do it all for you. And for me, the breakthrough came when, particularly around support, is when I started my business. And you know, well, you may be like this, but I did a lot of courses, a lot of programs. Like, I'm an avid learner, and I still am. And I remember doing this program, and they asked very clearly, how supported do you feel? And right there, in that moment, I am crying uncontrollably. And I am just aware that I feel like I am living my life with the weight of the world on my shoulders. And it is heavy. And at this point in time, I'm married. I've got a young toddler, my son. And I feel like, even though my husband, ex-husband, was very supportive and did what he could, I still felt like I was doing it on my own. I still felt like it was all on me. And as I'm crying because I feel like I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders, there's another awareness that comes through. And I feel both the spirit of my foster mother and my foster father behind me. And something just shifted. And it was like, holy shit, I have never been on my own. Like, in order for me to have ended up with my foster parents, I needed to have been supported because they were found in the back of a magazine. It's like, I could have gone anywhere. I know I went to the most loving family on the planet. And then when I look at all of the mistakes that I made and I look at all of the wins that I had, it was like, I was being guided and supported every step of the way, and now they are there flanking me. And it was just like, whoa. And from that point on, slowly but surely, I just started asking for more support, more help. And I still describe myself as a recovering control freak. I still, particularly in business, still like to kind of get my hands a little bit. Why are you in Canva suits? You're not a designer. I know, but so I still have things to learn there and things to let go of. But, you know, I say it in the book, if you want to have a massive impact, if you want to double your income, 10 times your income, 10 times your impact, you cannot do that all by yourself. You have to call in support. And so the less I do, the more I receive. That was a very potent and powerful affirmation that was a little tricky to get my head around to start with, but has become one of my favorites.
It's one of mine as well. I remember my assistant, when was it? Like, back in, I want to say it was like 2021, maybe even 2020. And she said, Emma, your mantra for this year is Emma does less, Emma attracts more. And I was like, Donna, you are a genius.
Yes.
And I love Donna for giving me that quote because honestly, like, the full embodiment of that was so beautiful because then I did allow myself to be supported. And I think, especially, you know, if you're a business owner, you'll agree with this, but, you know, in any area of our life, it can be hard to ask for support when you've been so support, like, you've had to support yourself for so long, or, you know, like we said there, in terms of thinking we're alone when actually the support is there, it can be really hard to just switch that mindset and be like, I'm going to ask my team to do that today, or I'm going to ask my friend to support me with that, or I'm going to ask my partner to help me with that. It can be really hard. So why do you believe we have so many blocks? This might be an endless question, but why do you believe we have blocks around receiving, and how does this impact our ability to manifest our desires?
I think if we look at support specifically, I think that it can serve us to be the person who puts everybody else first. You know, I work with a lot of mothers, and as a single mother, 3 kids, 13, 11, and 7, like, I know that it can be really, really just challenging and tasking, and it can feel like there aren't enough hours in the day. And I also know that if you put your kids, you put your kids' needs, and when I say your kids' needs, obviously, when if you have young kids, you have to prioritize them, you get to prioritize them. But there comes a point when you put your kids' needs and your sister and your partner and your friend and your cousin and your niece and this person and that person, everybody needs me. Guess what that leaves for you? No time, no energy. And that means that if you have no time or no energy, you cannot put your best foot forward when it comes to the things that you desire. So when we find ourselves playing that, you know, I work a lot with archetypes, and when we're in the martyr archetype, you get to ask yourself, how is it serving you? Because if you had the time, then you're going to have to put your heart on the line and say, this is what I want. And for many people, that feels so scary to actually say, this is what I want. Because we run frequently stories that tell us that if we go for what we want, we might lose something that is important to us. And that is huge for many people. If I go for what I want, then people might say that I'm selfish. If I go for what I want, then who will help at home? If I go for what I want, then something bad will happen. You know, fill in the blank for whatever goes on in your head. But that blocks so many people from receiving because they won't even ask for what it is that they desire. So it's, and we could speak about this for 3 days, but
I'm sure.
Is the kind of top line. Do you see that in your communities?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think and I read this in your book as well, around a big block is around self-worth, feeling worthy of receiving abundance and worthy of their desires and worthy of that support. So I feel like, yeah, I relate to the self-worth side of things as well. I know I've seen that a lot in the community and in the membership. And yeah, even like what you're saying there around, you know, fearing even asking, I think, you know, seeing that's the first step.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Of the manifestation process, you know, it kind of blocks you before you've even got started, because it can feel, like you say, so scary to declare, I want to manifest this money, or I want to manifest a new career, or I want to manifest this relationship, because it's almost like you've got to go along the journey. You've got to do the work. You've got to, you know, you've got to receive. And I know for myself, I don't know about you, Susie, but a really big fear I had was actually holding the desire of my body and sustaining the desire. So it wasn't necessarily a fear around the inner work or action or anything like that. It was actually about holding and sustaining the desire. Could I trust myself with that desire? So yeah, it was truly eye-opening.
Yeah, I really love that. So I want to speak to a couple of things. And I think that one of the things that makes this book different, at least from my perspective, is that one of the key emphases is on manifesting from a place of wholeness. So it is really about knowing that you are whole, you are worthy, and you are complete before you get the manifestation. And in the book, I talk about creating from a place of fullness, knowing your fullness and knowing your greatness. And I think probably the first time I'd heard, like, if you, how do they say it? So Abraham Hicks saying, well, so what if someone says that you're full of yourself? Who else would you want to be full of? And that really, really landed with me, because when you are co-creating with the universe from a place of fullness, all of your desires are overflow. All of your desires are abundance. You're not saying, I need to have the holiday in order to feel better about myself. You're not saying, I need the car in order to prove to my parents that I am smart enough, worthy enough, or my job is good enough. And that is really, really important when it comes to shortening the timeline of you receiving your manifestations, because every single time you're trying to create from a place of prove it energy, actually where you're coming from is I'm not enough. Actually, what you are resonating with is the frequency of lack. And so if the only reason you do the work around knowing your unique greatness, which is one of the pillars, the four pillars I talk about when it comes to the framework for infinite receiving, if the only reason that you tap into knowing your infinite greatness is to shorten the timeline of manifesting, please do that. Because when you know that you are whole, you are complete and enough, your co-creations become a game. It becomes fun, and you are co-creating just because that is what we are on this earth to do. Like, create for the fun of it. Let's just see how good we can get at creating, not for any other reason or validation point. So I think that that is, yeah, just really important to say.
Incredibly. And, you know, it does get to be fun. And I think a lot of the time it can feel heavy. It can feel dense. It can feel this pressure of like, I just really want that relationship, or I really want that career, or I really want that promotion. And, you know, we're human, we're wired to want things, you know, it's perfectly okay to want things. But it's when we put that control and those expectations and the attachment to things that it zaps all the fun and all the joy out of it. And that is exactly what the process should be: fun, expansive, joyful. And I love what you say there in terms of we should be creating for the hell of it. We should be creating because we can. And I think that's such a great way to look at it, because, you know, we are here to be the creators of our lives. So why would we not enjoy and experience that to the best capacity that we can? And I love the quote that goes around a lot on social media of needing nothing attracts everything. And I feel like that one really hit home for me of like, there you go, Emma, needing nothing attracts everything.
And listen, it's not always easy to feel like that. You know, when you are in dire straits, and I think the context for this is really, really important, because if you are in a position where you are not getting your basic needs met, then a conversation like this can be really, really challenging. And when you are in a position where life is really, really difficult, you're worried about paying the bills, you don't know how you're going to sort your mortgage out for the next month, like wherever you be, everything that I teach about knowing your worth and how to feel deserving becomes even more important. And the co-creation part, the manifestation part, is like the last part of the step. You know, but if you know your unique greatness, and it's really, when I talk about this in the book, it's like you get to know that you're a walking, talking miracle just because you were born. You know, if you think about babies, do they have to do anything in order for you to know that they are worthy? You know, it's like, I will love you more when you can walk. It's like, that is not the way that it works. We appreciate a baby just because they've been born. And it's that reminder to everybody that you were that baby. You didn't need to do anything. You didn't need to prove yourself. You didn't need to speak. You didn't need to do anything in order to be worthy and deserving of love. And being able to tap into that knowing is really, really important, because it changes the way that you show up in the world. When you're no longer showing up from this place of, I'm not good enough, I'm a little bit small, I'm a little bit meek, like permission to speak. And when you're able to know that about yourself, the next level of that is being able to see that in other people. every person. And again, this changes the way that people interact. It changes the way that the universe responds when you're able to treat the bin man in the same way as you do the Dalai Lama, because there's the same greatness and it is unique. Everybody has something unique and special about them, you know, and that unique, you know, I talk about it in the book. I'm like, your fingerprint cannot be replicated. There will never be another one of you ever again in this universe. It was a 1 in 400 trillion chance of you being born. That in and of itself makes you great. And that's what makes the bin man great. And that's what makes the Dalai Lama great. Like, there's this whole different way of interacting with the world when we step into this pillar of greatness. And that is knowing your worth. It is knowing your deservingness. And when you combine that with allowing yourself to be held and supported, and you layer that with opening your heart up to receiving love, which was such a huge part of the work that I needed to do in order to allow myself to receive more, because I was operating from this place of, I'm a kind-hearted person, but don't get too close. Like, I will not allow you close enough to actually hurt me. I will not allow you close enough to break my heart. So you can't possibly receive infinitely when you're walking around the world with your heart closed. And so if you're in dire straits, rather than thinking about the manifestation of money, I would much rather you think about these first three pillars and doing the work around unlearning and learning your greatness, receiving more support and healing your heart so that you can open it up to love. Because when you combine those three pillars, what you create is a level of magnetism around you that is very, very, very difficult to deny. And it's from that place you can start just planting the seeds for your manifestation, and you will see yourself again collapsing time. You will see strange situations where people are like, oh, let me help you out here. Or the client drops out of the sky here, or, you know, whatever it is, just by working on those three things without even thinking about the actual manifestation process.
And I really agree with that, because like you say, it's almost like the prep work, the foundational work of, I think you use the analogy in the book of like having, you know, this incredible cake, and the manifestation is the cherry on top.
Yes.
It's not the whole cake. It doesn't make the cake. It's not the chef. It's the cherry on top of the cake. And I think sometimes we, and again, speaking from experience here, when I first started manifesting, you know, I was manifesting things to fill a void. I was manifesting things. So, well, you know, I'll feel happiness when I have that relationship. I'll feel joy when I have that amount of money. And no matter what came, I didn't feel those things. I had to, you know, create it for myself. And those things that I did manifest were then, you know, great lessons and experiences for me to realize, no, I've got to give that to myself first. I've got to be my own soulmate first. I've got to do all that for me first. And then when those desires come from that fulfilled whole place, like you say, it is that cherry on top. It is that glorious cherry to the already wonderful cake that you have. I love that. I love that analogy. So how can we improve our relationship with receiving? Where can we start? If anyone's listening and they're like, this is great, I love what you guys are saying, but how do I do this? How do I start improving my relationship?
First of all, you get clear on what it is that you want. So if it is more money, it doesn't matter. Just get clear on what it is that you want. And then the first question that you want to ask yourself is, what action, well, let me give you a different question. Who is it that I get to be that would be a match for me receiving what it is that I desire to receive? And so another way for you to look at this is, what would I need to believe? What would I need to know? What would I need to do in order to be a match for receiving what it is that I desire? And just meditate, journal on that question, and just see what bubbles up, knowing that there are an infinite number of possibilities. that will direct you in an infinite number of ways to get you to the result. Like, so you can't get it wrong, but I just want you to start playing with the trying on of a slightly different identity. And then just ask yourself, what is one thing, one step, one thing that I can do, one step that I can take that will take me one step closer today to being that person? And then just, I talk about in the book, just 1 degree a day. Everybody always wants like big fireworks and quantum leaps and quantum transformations. And I love all of that. And I know, but just by making small shifts, asking myself the question, what would I do if I knew that I was worthy and deserving? You know, would I say yes to this guy that's like totally not my type on Bumble? No, I wouldn't. I'd swipe left instead of swiping right, because I know that I'm a match for somebody who is a match for me, and this is not a match for me. So that's one step that I can take, swipe left, rather than accepting crumbs. If it is, I want to make £5,000 in my business this month, what would I do if I was a match for £5,000? Well, I'd ask for the sale. And maybe I would do it twice a day instead of no times a day, because I am a match for receiving more. We just like one thing every single day to open yourself up to just a little more receiving. And the compound effect of that level of intentionality and consistency, that over time will transform your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like you say, those small habits, you know, they all stack up. It builds towards the big things. And, you know, I think as well, like for me, it's been around giving myself permission to receive and even opening up to receiving, because I have always been that person, again, ex-people pleaser here, who like a friend or, you know, someone would be like, oh, let me get your coffee or let me get that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, are you sure? Oh, I don't mind paying. Oh, I don't mind.
Yes, please.
And it's like, yeah, like, why am I not just like, Thank you. Thank you for that kind offer. Yeah. So like for me, it's that reminder of, instead of jumping to defend why someone's like, you know, just generous, you know, generally giving me something, it's actually like, I'm just going to take this. I'm going to be wholly in the moment and just say, thank you so much. That's lovely. I'd love that. Thank you. So yeah, that for me, a big permission slip was important, because otherwise I'd just be there rambling on about who's going to pay for what.
Thank you. And yes, please. And also more, please. There's this idea that you can't be grateful for what you've got if you're always wanting something more. And I want to really put a pin in that, like allowing yourself to notice. This is a really big thing. How much you already have is a really important part of receiving infinitely. So when you can wake up in the morning, hear the birds singing and be like, wow, listen to that dawn chorus, listen to them go, that's amazing. When you can be walking along the street and just be like, shit, look up at the sky, it is huge. Look at, you know, being in deep appreciation is incredible. And because we get to live in the and also, and I wonder what else is possible. And I wonder what else is next. And I wonder what else I can do. That doesn't detract from your contentment in the moment when you are willing to appreciate the moment. So it's this and is a really beautiful principle from infinite receiving.
I love that. We get to have it all. I love it. So what are some of your non-negotiables, Susie, when it comes to being an infinite receiver?
I am getting really, really good at noticing when I am tolerating less than what it is that I desire. And so that example with Bumble is a really, really good one. It's noticing where I'm compromising to people, please. It's noticing where I'm compromising because maybe I need to just shrink my desire down a little bit. And that compromise piece is a non-negotiable. And what's really interesting is that I notice still, even saying that, feels a bit controversial, you know, saying that out loud, like no compromise on my desires is a non-negotiable. And that means sometimes making difficult decisions. It means sometimes disappointing people. And it also forces me into taking action that can sometimes feel a little bit risky. But the more that I honor that within myself, the more I open myself up to receiving.
And big leaps bring big rewards, definitely.
Big bold moves, baby.
Amen. And I think it's so true, because like you were saying, in terms of speeding up time and speeding up, you know, the manifestation coming to you, when you do honor your yeses and honor your no's and build that intuition muscle and, you know, look at alignment and does this decision feel expansive? Does it bring me closer to my desire, or does it take me, you know, further away? Yes. It's such a good question to ask yourself, because the amount of times I've made decisions out of fear or people pleasing, or I should say yes to this, and then I feel like, oh, why have I done that? You know, and it doesn't end up being a great, joyful, expansive experience because I haven't listened to myself. And I feel like it's so important we do that, because then you skip the rubbish. You're getting closer to your desire even quicker just by listening to yourself, just by saying, I matter enough. I'm going to honor my yes, honor my no, honor what I want to do. So I love that that's your non-negotiable, because should be all of our non-negotiables for sure. So Susie, my last question to you today then is, what is one piece of life advice that you would like to leave my lovely listeners with?
Faith plus action equals miracles. I write that right throughout the book. It is an affirmation that I have been using now for the last 13 years, and it's absolutely changed my life. And all it means is believe in yourself and then be willing to take aligned action. And when you do that, over time, you will create more miracles in your life than you can shake a stick at. And so, faith plus action equals miracles is the thing.
Love it. And so true. So Susie, where can we find more of your work if people want to learn more about your books or anything that you have to offer?
So you can find me in my favorite place, which is Instagram, Susie, S-U-Z-Y underscore Ashworth. I have my podcast called Infinite Receiving. And right now, for anybody who purchases a book, we are offering a 7-day free trial in my Infinite Receivers Members Club. So all you have to do is send a receipt into hey@susieashworth.com and my team will sort you out. So they're all of the places.
Amazing. And we'll put a clickable link to Susie's work in the description below for ease as well. But thank you so much for coming on today, Susie. It's been so much fun. I've learned tons from this, so I'm sure everybody listening has taken so much away from it and is ready to become the queen of receiving alongside us. So thank you so much, Susie.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a real joy.
So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for joining me for another one of my podcast episodes today. I really hope you've enjoyed Susie and I's conversation. As always, you can find a clickable link in the description below if you want to find out anything more about Susie's work. And if you want to find out anything more about myself, my books, my videos, or my membership, you can find all the details at emmamumford.co.uk. So thank you so much, gorgeous souls, for listening. I appreciate all your views and listens. Don't forget to subscribe if you're new here, because I would love to see you again soon. Don't forget you can also join my free Law of Attraction support group over on Facebook, where you can join myself and other like-minded souls, where we talk all things Law of Attraction and spirituality. I hope you have an incredible week, whatever you're up to, and I'll see you all in my next podcast episode, which will be next week. Lots of love.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.